Good morning. Glad to see you all here. Hope you're blessed. Hope you're encouraged. Thank you for coming together to worship our Lord. Every one of us had some things in our week. Some we celebrate, some we are answer to prayer. Some of them, Lord, what are you doing? Where are you? And that's okay. He still says come. And so we come and we surrender and we rejoice. We're jumping into Hebrews. We're already in the middle of Hebrews. Been doing it for several weeks now. Hebrews is a New Testament letter down towards the back of your Bible. And in Hebrews, there is a whole painting, a description by the writer, first 12 chapters of who is Jesus, why that's significant, and now what does that mean for us today? And so the last several weeks, I've been trying to unpack what Hebrews is for us and how that makes a difference for us. And so we're going to jump into the text, and I'll give you a review here in just a second. It's in, if you will, chapter 12. Therefore, by the way, in English, whenever you see the word therefore or so that, that's a big thing. That's like arrows are pointing, billboard signs, neon lights are saying, don't miss this, okay? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. This is the word of the Lord. I know there's a lot there. I know it's got some descriptive words there that we might not use all the time, and what a way to end the passage when not using your own blood. But just go with me here. Last week, I had a couple kind of catch-ups, if you've been with us, to kind of see if this is kind of connecting with you, you're remembering things. Yes, you could say it's a pop quiz, but it's, you know, it is. Okay, so fill in the blank for yourself. Will you continue to follow? And again, this is the message of what Hebrews is telling us throughout the whole first 12 chapters. Will you continue and follow? And, oh, I heard it. Very good, very good. Give yourself a little brownie point. Nice job. You can give high fives. It's okay. Protect your heart by what? Humbling yourself. Ooh. People brought like their A game. You have what it takes in Jesus, right? I was going to make Jesus the blank, but then it's like, it's just too easy, right? It's like, Jesus. Let me try that again. Remember, God is working to grow. To grow us up. You guys are on it. I'll just let the blank fill itself. The church is a blank to the world. Ooh, light sounds good. I would have done that. I should have done that. That's better. Gift to the world. Gift. Now, it is a light too. But the gift to the world, that's the one that a lot of times people don't realize that the church is a gift to the world. If you were to ask 10 people, what you think of when you think of the local church, I don't know how many would say gift, sadly, but true. And so it's one of those things that if it really matters to us, we wouldn't be late, right? It's our director, Aggie's coming in late. Sorry, moving on. What blank are you? Only if I know you and love you very, very much would I do that to you, okay? So some of you are like, I'm never getting to know the pastor. I understand that. Moving right along. I feel like I should pray right now. I do. Please forgive me. So this week, what blank are you training for? Based on the passage we just read, what race? Someone was reading. I like it. What race are you training for? The challenge that we all face is thinking that we have a lot more time than we really do. That what we do today doesn't really make a difference tomorrow because we got lots of time. When I was teaching at the college, And we would go through like planning out your calendar and your schedule and your classes and your assignments and laying out this, you know, your syllabus and all this schedule of activities and everything. And you lay out in your calendar. We'd encourage them to go through a process, take all your classes, get all your assignments, put them on the calendar, mark your days, have like a, ideally three days to a week buffer to try to have it finished ahead of time. So that way if Murphy's Law comes to visit, you're not like, you know, you got what I'm saying. Okay. So it's to plan it out. And what was remarkable was how students that had a job or students that had other commitments in the community outside of school tended to do better because they didn't procrastinate because they knew, I only have this much time. I got this much. That's it. That's all I got. So I have to be on it today. I have to be on it here. Now, everyone's going to be thinking of, I need to tell my grandson to go get a job. Yeah, well, it could work. But the reality is we need to understand that we sometimes overestimate our ability of what we can accomplish in the time we have. And the race that we're called and being told that we're running is something that it's not just way out in the future. It's right here, right now. It's the race that we're currently living in, that God has placed us in. That you go again nowhere by accident. Guess what? He has you going there on purpose. And so now it's about us leaning in and saying, Lord, what do I need to be training for? How do I need to be training? Some of us approach races like this. We just jump in it. We're like, oh, we're signed up. I'm good. And then we're running halfway and we don't make the race. We don't finish. It says that he's not making that, right? I mean, he's done. He's not looking for later for hanging out and, hey, what's going on? Congratulate. There's no high fives for him. He's like medic, oxygen, right? Then there's those who are all prepared, right? I mean, he's in that picture. I mean, he's got water bottles. He's got gel packs. He's got protein bars. He's got a watch. He's got a sweatpant. He is loaded for bear. Because he knows this race is going to be hard. He knows this race is going to require more than what he has already inside. So he needs to make sure he's prepared for what the race gives to him. What are we doing to prepare? Now, I'm not saying you have to have all of that in your pack. And notice it's a fanny pack kind of thing. I was like, you know, one second. Moving on. But how do we persevere? How do we make sure? How do we ensure that we can run the race? Because it's not about if, again, the storms come. It's when the storms come. And so when the storms come, again, the doctor, the boss that calls you in, we're making cutbacks. We making a change. Talking with one of our covenant partners this week, had a big job interview, prepared all last weekend for it, was so excited. He actually went in the interview, and he's like, I've never had as good of an interview in my entire life. I hit a home run. It was just, I couldn't have done better. He said, and that's not me trying to toot my horn. He goes, really, it was like every question they asked me, I had already prepared for. I was inside their planning session. It was wonderful. And had it go. And he goes, well, they decided to go a different way. And my heart hurt for him. But his response was, well, you know, I know the Lord's leading this. I know he's going to, you know, if he wanted me to have a job, I'd have that job. And so I got to just trust that his plan's better and bigger. And I was so proud of him. I really was, because that's not easy. That is not easy, but that's the race. We're in it, and when those moments come, are we ready for it? How many of us have been at a point where we're like, man, I can't take this. Lord, I need your help. What's going on? There are sometimes, again, the storm is just really big. There are sometimes it's because I haven't prepared well. I haven't prayed enough. I haven't humbled myself enough and said, Lord, I don't know what's going on today. Don't let me think that just because I was good yesterday, I'm going to be good today. Give me the strength I need for today. That's a way different prayer. Way different prayer. And it's something that is so important for us to continue the course. Notice how it started off. It said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, just to get you caught up, what he's talking about is the previous chapter, chapter 11 in Hebrews, is known as the faith chapter. If you like homework, which I know everyone here does, who doesn't, read chapter 11 this week. Constant example after example. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, and many more are listed in there, and many of the things that God did in their lives. What's really remarkable is this. They did not receive what was promised, but they continued the race. In their lifetimes, they did not receive what God had promised. And yet, here we are. Great examples of people that were able to run the race, stay the course, and give us encouragement. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, is what that text earlier said, right? And so in that, understand, it's like painting a picture of like we're in like a, going into an arena, and we're taking a lap around the track. And it's like each one of these were running with us and saying, this is what I learned about who God is and what he can do in your life. And the next person, you'd run a lap. And the next person, you run a lap. They were being grown up, and they were being cheered for because they knew God was bigger than what they were facing. And it's so important for us. They acted. Now, what I mean by that, they acted on the reality that they could not see. They trusted that God was big enough to handle whatever they were going to face. They also believed that God was leading them in the direction they were going, that God was not outside. He wasn't late to the party. He wasn't not paying attention. He was actively involved, even, if you will, in spite of their circumstances, because they endured in spite of those same circumstances. They endured. They kept running. They kept trusting. And it doesn't mean you don't stumble. It doesn't mean you don't fall. It doesn't mean you don't have to have, hey, I need some help up. There's going to be those days. There's going to be those moments. But in the falling, let us learn. Let us grow. Let us learn, and let us, if anything, fall forward so we actually get some ground. Okay? Get back up. We're still a little closer to the goal. And help us to continue in that race. And so I want to encourage you to take heart of what they have done, what they have shown us. So these heroes, again, of the faith are from the old covenant. They did run this race. They ran it once. They finished it. And again, they're cheering us on. We're not in it alone. If you feel alone, there's two, maybe three situations I can make sense of this. One, you haven't been good at connecting yourself with other people that are running the race. And you might need to do that. It could be through a small group Bible study. It could be through joining a ministry team, whether it be in our children's environment, choir, our partners in prayer group, our prayer shawl ministry that's doing amazing things. There's a group of ladies. I'm waiting for the first guy to go in there. I don't know who it is, but I know there's going to be a guy. They make their prayer shawls, and these ladies that put these together, they take a moment, we pray over the prayer shawls, and then when in time, as we feel led, we try to give them to people that need them. And it was remarkable this last week when we gave one to a family, and they said, you know, I've known about this ministry, I understand what it was doing, but I had no clue what it would mean to me when I got it, when I received it. It was beyond words. Little things like that can help you understand that you're not alone. You're in community, and you need community. Another way of feeling like you're not in community, but you need it, could be a time of isolation that the Lord has put you in. Isolation can be something that you choose, something you don't choose, usually something we don't choose. Isolation could be from a medical situation, a divorce, imprisoned. Could be that you're moved, your job relocates you, and you have no base. It could be a new season of life, retirement. It could be a new place, a newborn baby, and you're trying to love on this baby, and it's the first one, and you're trying to take care of it, and you're like, I feel like I got no one else. Isolation is something that God allows in our lives to help us take the next step in Him. It's not to punish us. It's to help us to know and trust Him in a deeper way so that we're training and we're ready for the race, because He knows where He's trying to take us. He knows the race that's set out before you and me and says, I know what you need here. You're not strong enough. So I'm going to, along the way, give you opportunities to strengthen those muscles, stretch those muscles, break those muscles down to build them up even stronger. Maybe this word that I just shared with you, you know you're entering into a season of isolation. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. This is the time to especially get on your knees and say, Lord, are you saying this to me? May I trust you in this? maybe these words are encouragement because you've been in a season of isolation. You just can't tell the last time. You can't think of a time when you didn't feel alone. That season isn't to punish you. Let me be crystal clear here. It's to help you know God in a deeper way, for you to learn to depend on Him. We're really good at depending on ourselves. We might be okay every now and again depending on our close friends. But the Maker of the universe wants us to learn to depend on Him. It's 11. In all seriousness, it's a tough time. Isolation is never someone goes, they're never doing a party in isolation. Okay? On that note, the question that we need to ask ourselves, how can we expect to run well? What if we prayed? What if we read scripture? What if we got involved in what the Lord was doing as much as we come to church? What if, now flip it over, what if we ate just like we came to church? What if we ate once a week? If we ate once a week, what would happen? We would not be healthy. It would not work. We would be very, very hungry. We would probably be very hangry, is the phrase I like to use. And it's one of those truths. But yet, sometimes we just don't think about it. We get busy. And it's not that the Lord's like, oh gosh, you're busy, I'm so sorry. He knows life. Jesus walked amongst us. He knows what it's like to have family obligations. He knows what it's like to have the challenges in life. He knows what it's like to feel alone, to feel abandoned, to feel isolated. And what did He do again and again and again and again? He went back, found a place to pray. When you're feeling overwhelmed, when you're running the race and you don't think you can take another lap, I don't have what it takes. You have what it takes in Jesus. And then humble yourself and then start praying. And maybe in the praying, get it all out. There might be tears, and that's okay. There's healing in tears. It really is. But the tears will stop. And you'll find a quiet strength, a strength to be able to continue to walk in His grace. That the isolation isn't a penalty. It's not a punishment. It's not because you chose poorly. It's to help you know of His love. I told you there were three ways I thought that you might be isolated. First one, again, you haven't made connections. You haven't reached out. Second one might be a season of isolation or entering a season of isolation. The third one could be you've rebelled against God. You have sinned. You have chosen poorly, but He's not isolating you. He's trying to woo you back. He's trying to bring you back to say, listen, that's not the way to go. That way of life will not help you run the race, not finish strong. And so He's putting us in a situation to help us realize, wait a minute, something's not right. I don't feel right. I was so blessed during a season of my life where I was in isolation because of my sin. Had no clue. I didn't have a picture of that. No one had ever said anything like that. No idea what that meant. All I knew is I felt so far from God, and I didn't know why. And it wasn't until a loved one, a lady named Sue, who, God bless her, cared enough to ask. We were in a circle of getting ready to go work with some high school youth. And she just leaned over and she said, Dust, is everything okay after the prayer was over? And I said, when someone asks me that, I always try to give them a real answer. There's sometimes I know that's very inspiring when I'm like, man, I'm really tired. No one wants to ever hear that, right? You know, it's been kind of rough. I didn't really care. I just was saying hi, okay? Right? How are you is usually more of a greeting than a question of the heart, but I think it's more powerful when it's a question of the heart. But I said, you know, Sue, I'm not well. I don't know what to say. I don't know. I've prayed. I've read scripture. I'm serving. I just don't get it. And she just kind of just sat there kind of looking, and I just felt like the Lord was just giving her just little tidbits and says, is there anything that you need to confess? Whoa. It was like, and it was like 9 months earlier. If you would have said, what could it be? That would not have been on my map, on my radar. And immediately when she said that, whew, I went right back to it. It was like the Holy Spirit was like, yep, that's it. We got to talk. We got to do the difficult work. We got to rebuild. Whew. It might be because of that. Don't feel ashamed. The Lord's not trying to make you shame. He's not shaming you. He's trying to bring you back and let you know, I want to restore us even and make us stronger than what we were before. He wants to do that in you. Maybe you have some unconfessed sin. It's interesting how when the writer's talking about running the race, he goes on to say, how did I lose my note here? Here we are. Wow. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You can't run a race if you're tangled up, if you're tied up. And that's what sin does. It's worse than a three-legged race. It really is. You're stuck. You don't have a partner. You're tied together and you're just hopping. And it's not meant to be part of the race. And yet so many times we get stuck. And so if we have not been training, how are we going to be able to handle the testing times of our faith? We don't want to wait. We're about entering hurricane season, I think, if my calendar's correct. We don't wait till the hurricane is announced 2-3 days out to then start making hurricane preparations. I'm sorry if that's a norm for you. We don't recommend that. You won't find water in the stores. Yeah, it's true. In fact, there's a little hurricane prep on the board. Check it out if you need to take a picture of it to help you in your preparations. Back to here. But if we wait for the storms to come to then get ready, it's too late. That can be a tragic mistake. We don't want to do that, especially when it comes to eternity, especially when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. We need to be training up right now. Now, let me say this about the training part. I'm not trying to overburden you. I'm not trying to make you feel like you got to do more or try harder. It's all based on trusting more. Now, there's some practices to help you build your trust that we'll talk about, but it's so important you don't get lost in the, I got to try harder. God's watching me. He's got a checklist. That's not what it's about. It's about us trusting him more. It's about us surrendering more. It's about us being open and saying, Lord, where do you want me to go with this? How do I move forward? It's not about being perfect. Don't get stuck there. The scripture has us talk about or give us a little pointer. What are your eyes fixed on? What are you looking at? If you're just looking in the mirror, you're not looking in the right place. If you're just looking at picking up your bootstraps, in other words, that's not what the Lord's trying to talk about. That's not what the writer's talking about. They're saying, fix your eyes on Jesus because we need encouragement. We need coaches. Why is it that professional athletes have a coach? They made it to the big leagues. Why do they still need a coach? They're great. They were the best team in All-Stars in Little League. They were the best team in the high school. They were the best team in college. They were the best. Why do they still need coaches? Because they still need to get better. There's still more training to do. They want to have a long career. Something also interesting about sports is they also have an off-season. Maybe you need to enter an off-season. Maybe you've been going so hard, so long. You might need an off-season. Here's what I found. If you don't enter that off-season intentionally, God might put you there on purpose. And it's not because he's mad. It's because he cares. There's a reason that there's recovery time. We need to do the hard work. What if it was hurricane season year-round? Oh, my goodness. Right? Thank goodness. In that time of off-season is when we recover. We prepare so that when the season is ready, we're not playing like the Bad News Bears. Okay, we're not going, wait a minute, what's going on here? Again, the scripture talks about looking to Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Let me give you some practical things. Prayer. If you've never really thought about praying or how to pray or a prayer you're okay with, just don't ask me to do it in public. What, I'm not asking you to freak out. I'm not going to put anyone on the spot. But prayer is just talking to God. It's just talking and listening to God. How does communication happen if we're always the ones talking? Think about that. Sometimes to help us get better in prayer, we need to say less, if not say, maybe just say, "Hi, God. Anything you want to talk about today?" And just give it space. To give it space, let me give you two things to do this. Silence and solitude. Now, these are counter to what we live in our culture. We have noise all the time. All the time. I've even heard people having cell phones going off in the middle of a service and a sermon. It's crazy. We have noise all the time. The reality is, how do we give space so God can meet us where we're at and where we need it most? If you feel empty, silence and solitude might be the best thing for you. If you've ever run a race, I didn't want to put up horrible pictures of me running a half marathon. It's not pretty. But of me running the race, I was done. I could have ran 13.5, maybe 14, but I was done. I was tired. I wanted a break. I didn't feel stronger. I trained to run a half marathon, not a full. I trained to run a half. You're going to get the results your training is set up to get. If you've been training for a 5K, guess what? A 13.1 mile is not going to be good for you. It's not going to go well. I know I'm kind of putting the cookies on the bottom shelf, but I just want to be crystal clear here. It's about us giving God space, which might mean you get up earlier in your day. If you're a morning person, I just want to say that because people that are not morning persons think I'm just the devil when I say something like that. If you're a night person, turn the TV off earlier, give yourself 20, 30 minutes at night and give God space there. Don't worry about morning or night. God still works all the time. He's still God of everything. And let him have space. But silence and solitude. That solitude might be like, wait a minute, I'm talking about community. Yes, community with the Lord. And in that solitude, again, it helps you get perspective. And it helps you to know where God's at work and what he's doing. And to give you faith for when life is hard. Last but not least, and there's many more, but I'm just going to give you a couple again. Prayer, silence, solitude, reading the Bible. Maybe get into a Bible study to help you understand what it is, what it's talking about, and how the story of God is still being told through us today. Now, this story is not just a story from a long time ago. It's our story right now. And what he has in there for us is so important that we get, that we understand. Last but not least, what do you need to change in your training? In light of this amazing gift God has given us, himself. What do we need to do to connect better with him? What do you need to throw off? Any sin that's easily tangling you up? Anything that you just need to just lay out there and say, Lord, I need you to forgive me. I want to be restored in you. I want to know you closer than a brother. Scripture, there's one scripture where Jesus says to his disciples, you've called me teacher, and that is correct, but I call you friend. I call you friend. Do you know the Lord as friend? He is still king. He is still God. And yet he still says, I call you friend. If you don't know, then maybe this summer, make it a season of trying to build that friendship. And think about how you get to know someone and they become friends and lifelong friends. I like to say the phrase refrigerator rights or garage door rights. They come in without knocking. Or they knock and say, I'm here. Or they go into the fridge. They don't say, can I get some drink? They just go in and get it. That's the kind of friendship we're talking about. How do we get to that point? Unless you spend time together. Unless you learn to communicate. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. I'm trying to help you understand there's an amazing God who loves you and wants to know you and live in you and through you and help you run the race strong. Would you pray with me? Beautiful God, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your amazing generosity in Jesus. Help us, please, Lord. help us to know where to go from here. Maybe you put on us that we need to connect more with other followers of you. Maybe it's through a Bible study, maybe it's through a ministry team, but we know we need to connect better. Lord, maybe we've been in a season of isolation and we're stuck. We have not felt you. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to pray. Help us to trust you in spite of our circumstances. Or maybe, Lord, we have just absolutely rebelled against you. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was 10 years ago. We ask that you would help us walk. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to confess. And then lace them up and get in the race. Help us not to be afraid. Help us to lean into it and know that you are faithful, you are good, and you are not done. Thank you, Lord, for our church family that is trying to run the race. Thank you for people that have again and again stepped in and served, stepped in and loved, stepped in and been your hands and feet. We pray, Lord, that our community would be a blessing to them as well, that you would fill up their cup in you and in community, that they would know of the joy of the Lord. And help us, every one of us, know you as friend. Lord, we lift up our community. We pray for our nation. We pray for your church throughout the world, your beautiful church. Help it to be a gift to the rest of the world. Help it to be a place where people find refuge, where they can gather together to proclaim who you are and enjoy you forever. And Lord, we lift up our leaders. We pray for wisdom beyond their years, favor. We pray that you would humble them, that they would know and be your hands and feet as well. We pray for all those who are hurting, both in the hospital and out. Those who need to know of your presence more. Those who are hungry. Those who are experiencing injustice. We pray on this Trinity Sunday, Lord, that you would glorify yourself in this thing called life, in this world you have created and given as a gift. We pray for The Grove, our sister church in Palm City and Indy River. We ask especially that we would be a movement for what you're doing in this community. Help us to continue to spur on one another in good deeds and sharing and enjoying life together. Lord, we remember the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen."